You ready?
Oh,
It's out.
okay.
Just honestly, just chill out. Just be cool. Just be yourself. Don't worry. There's not like my listeners are the coolest people in the world. They're the most genuine, nicest,
Yeah.
encouraging people. So you've nothing to worry about. Just be cool. Just be yourself. Honestly, say what you want. You can say whatever you
What if
want.
I go quiet because I'm sometimes freeze?
No, that's okay.
That's
That's okay
me.
too. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Be yourself. Just be yourself. You are fully and completely fine. So you don't need to worry. This is a safe space for you to express yourself. I want you to open up and just be yourself and feel free to express things in a way that you might never have done before.
Thank you very much.
So I'm going to give you that space. I'm going to give you that opportunity. And yeah, we're just going to have fun and go with the
Yay.
flow, man. Take it. Cool, man,
Yep.
and get deep into some concepts,
Yeah.
regards to spirituality and consciousness and all that stuff as well. So,
Yeah.
okay.
And again, if I go out, then you know that I'll connect again.
Yeah.
If I, yeah. Okay.
Yes, that's cool. Okay, so we'll start 1, 2, 3. Welcome to Journey Within with myself, Nigel Paul Miller. Today I'm joined by Gita Rani. Gita is a singer-songwriter from Norway. And she has the most amazing voice I've ever heard. Welcome to the show, Gita. How are you today?
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be on the show, and I've never done a podcast before, so it will be interesting. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. So I just want to say thank you so much for coming on today. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. I only came across your music recently, actually. It was back in November last year, and I was just on YouTube looking for kind of relaxing music, meditation music, and just kind of, music just to take me away or whatever. And yeah, I came across one of your songs. It was called My Heart Song, and I started listening to it, and I just, when you started singing, your voice just took me away. It was just like this amazing, it was like an angelic, this angelic kind of
Oh.
intervention. And I was like, oh my God. And I was sharing the song with some of my friends. I was posting it on Facebook saying this girl has the voice of an angel. And I posted it in a few groups,
Oh.
and people were like, oh my God, she's amazing. So, for me to get you on my show today is a big deal for me because, I just really admire you. I admire what you do. I admire the message that you are bringing to the world, and essentially, I suppose, the light work that you're doing, and the way that you kind of convey your energy through your lyrics, and obviously with your voice and your song. So I have to say it's an absolute honor to have you on today. And yeah, so I'm really looking forward to getting stuck in and having a conversation with you.
Yeah, me too.
Excellent stuff.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
No, of course.
Really.
You're more than welcome. So yeah, so I mean, let's go back a little bit into kind of, how you kind of got started in singing. How did you kind of come to be, the person you are today in relation to kind of the spiritual aspect of it, and also obviously getting involved in the music industry? How did that all occur for you?
Where to begin? So I grew up in a family with like a spiritual lifestyle, you could say. I learned meditation since I was or I got my first initiation when I was 7, and
Wow.
meditation was a daily just a normal thing that I thought everybody were doing. And we also did a bit of chanting, like a collective chanting and things. And but I wasn't like a songbird, or I was ashamed of my voice. I didn't think of myself as a singer, but I admired
Wow.
singers and I loved it so much. And my father is a musician, so there were always be a lot of, music in our, or like musicians coming to our house and working on CD projects, and he had a studio there, so it would be, yeah, actually a bit of pressure because my name is Gita, it means song, and him being my father and my sisters would sing, but I didn't like that. Or I was embarrassed too. So it was like a desire to sing, and I think I was 16 or 17 when I first, dare to sing without, I don't know, like to be heard for the first time.
Wow, that's amazing. So you were actually ashamed of your voice as a kid. So it was more of a factor, more of a case of shyness, really, wasn't it? It was more of a case that you just felt.
Yeah, I guess shyness and also not discovering that it was there, because it was shame before it was even heard by myself. And yeah, so I would, I started picking up the guitar when I was 12, but just in my room and with a little book to see the chords, and I would sing them, but yeah, it was just, yeah, I guess shyness. Or, and I used to think, oh, Bob Dylan is well loved, his voice is different, and or other singers that were like raspy or like with something raw. Now I love them, but that time I thought, oh, I think everyone can sing, so maybe it's possible I can sing. It was like a thing for me. I was thinking about a lot. I wanted a lot to, and yeah, so it was a discovery. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about then, you said your first initiation was at seven years of age. So what exactly do you mean by that?
Would meditate before then as well. Like just, you know, 5 minutes in the morning and again in the evening. Like, yeah, but at seven, I got my own mantra and like a bit of a technique.
Ah.
For that was simple for like yeah, so, and then later maybe at 13 I got more into like more and more lessons or what to call it. Yeah, so I was living quite like a yogic lifestyle when I was very young, a teenager, and had those kind of aspirations and not so much living like a normal kid. And then later again, maybe like a backlash, it became hard for me all of a sudden to meditate. So like, I couldn't continue so much to just do that, sit down and close my eyes without being,
So was that kind of when you kind of hit around your teenage years?
Yeah, like, late teens and early 20s it started to, because maybe I'd been too much disciplined or I don't know what. I have no idea. I think it was maybe past traumas and things like that, things coming to the surface. And that's what happens when you meditate. It can bring things to the surface, and I had other stuff in my life that were you know, a bit of baggage. So yeah, and maybe past life things, I have no idea. It was, I had that feeling since I was a kid that there was something there from earlier.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I know exactly what you mean, and like I actually can relate to you in so many ways with regards to that. But yeah, so I mean, tell us then, you actually were mentioned in the movie The King's Speech, which is obviously...
No, not me.
Oh, hang on. Okay, well then I misread that. I thought you said even mentioned in The King's Speech.
No. Can I... Yeah, this was my teacher for some years.
Oh, your healing teacher was... Oh. Yeah. I see. Well, that's my misinterpretation. I apologize.
So not me. The king doesn't know about me.
Not yet.
But we have,
not yet.
Not yet. But this doctor, he's a well-loved character in Norway. He does a lot to bridge kind of the natural medicine to the allopathic medicine. And he's a very kind person and people love him, and for some reason the royal family also has had something to do with him, and And the Princess of Norway is actually, maybe I've heard of her. She's a healer and
wow.
I think she calls herself clairvoyant, and she has contact with her angels.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So the royal family are actually publicly spiritual.
I guess her parents, the king and queen, they're trying to be diplomatic about it and just support her, you know.
Wow, that's amazing. I never knew that. Now I have to say, I never knew that. So just to clarify, so this guy, this doctor, he was who you studied with.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about that then, with regards to what you were studying with him and how that relationship was, and you know, what kind of occurred in that time for you.
Yeah, that was just part of my background that I felt like in a very important part of my life. Sorry, there's something popping up all the time. He started the school a few years ago. He was also like born with some abilities and had his life journey, some crisis, and then later on he became a doctor, and he would just use this his abilities very secretly, and then he would become more and more going over to work as a openly with his so he has a school now, and I was in my group was maybe 80 or 60 students or something. We were there for 3 years studying with him. Many nurses, many all kinds of people were there, and it's just a very empathetic and kind person that just these techniques are very have been very valuable for me, and I felt maybe with the music that was my expression of what I have done more than anything else with energy work, you know. I've done a bit of like just normal therapy work with, you know, clients, but this is more the expression I felt that this, yeah.
Absolutely. And I can attest to that 100%. I mean, that's what I got off your music. Like, it was just when I started listening to you, I was like, it was just a deeper level of energetics. There was just something going on, and I could identify it in your voice. It was like your voice is like your conduit for energy work, essentially. But it's just so, so powerful. And yeah, it's just amazing that you know, I mean, I'd never come across anything like that before, like, you know. And it's just fascinating how we can have these kind of abilities unique to, you know, the individual, essentially. And everybody's abilities can be different in some way. Some people can be empathic in different ways. Some people can, you know, anticipate things. You know, maybe they can see into the future. Maybe they can read people. Maybe they can, you know, detect energy and stuff like that. So it's just fascinating that for me to experience, you know, what you do is just, it's just amazing. And anytime I just put on one of your songs, and straight away my state just changes. Straight away my energy shifts.
Music can do that. It's
amazing. But so I mean, tell me a little bit then about your kind of teenage years then. You know, obviously I'm sure you were similar to me. You went through the identity crisis where you were trying to figure out who you were and, you know, what your point was in the world or what your purpose was in the world. So tell me a little bit about kind of the struggles for yourself as a teenager. I imagine obviously you were, you know, kind of introverted or whatever. You wanted to be a singer, but you didn't feel like maybe you had the ability. Maybe you didn't feel like you could, you know, maybe you didn't believe in yourself. So tell me how that kind of, you know, how that evolved into doing what you're doing now.
I mean, as a teenager, I didn't imagine ever to be a singer in the way that I would be on stage or anything. It was just to sing because I was surrounded by, you know, my classmates would be singing, or we would have choir, or we would have singing and songs in other settings and with this chanting and things. So it was more to be part of it, you know, and also to have a way to express I used to play the cello, and that was a bit expressive for me. And then also drawing. I was drawing a lot. So, yeah. But as a teenager, yeah, introvert definitely. What can I say? I've many times in my life I would live so far from anything that, like, I would travel to school for 3 or 4 hours every day.
Wow.
To get to high school, yeah.
Wow.
3 hours was more, but it could take 4. And then that was a factor that was almost always there in that long travel. And I went to Steiner School. And that was very, I think, the right place for me. It's a different style and maybe more inclusive, and some, I could be very the subjects or the way they were taught. I needed something like a mystery or some, like, the teachers there are very good at, you know, making it alive or something, you know.
Ah, so kind of immersive learning in a sense, whereby, yeah, you know, it's a lot more interaction, you know, with regards.
Some more interaction, yeah, and more also, like, if we were to write an essay or something, they were very happy if I wrote something about, like, and I would need it to be like something mysterious, and not mystery like but up. Like, yeah, it became almost like when I write my songs, you know, this where really there's a gem there and I'm just working to get it out of the, you know. Yeah. So all this, yeah, so I could work a lot with my writing and with drawing and things like that, yeah. So wow. It wasn't so just facts and all that, it was a lot to
a lot of creativity in there. There was a lot of intuition. There was a lot of,
yeah,
you know, kind of finding it as you were going down the path. You're kind of discovering the path as you're going down it.
Yeah, like discovery. Yeah.
That's beautiful. So that must have impacted then the way that you wrote your songs, you know, a few years after that, because you had been more or less educated in a certain way that was, you know, not conventional. In the way that most people would be educated, as you say, with facts and figures and, you know, memorize this, regurgitate that. You actually had to be immersive in your learning. So that's amazing.
I
guess,
and I couldn't say that it's so different, but that's what I imagine. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. It makes sense. Wow, that's amazing. So, and then with regards to kind of, you know, singing on stage, tell me about the first time that you actually sang on stage. That must have been very
that was nervous. A bit crazy, actually. yeah, you know, it happened a bit random because this would be the first time, yeah, and I this was right after I had started to even sing so that anyone could hear me. And I got back from, actually we made a school trip to the Sinai Desert. And we had a guide there with us that made it like into a mystery trip. And she would read some mystical books about Jesus in the evenings, and she would teach us the Aramaic prayer of Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. And it was so beautiful to me. And we would do it sentence by sentence every night, and I would fall asleep. I loved it, but I fell asleep every time, or not every time, but quite often, because you could lay down and just, it was like chanting. So I was frustrated because I wanted to learn this, and it would be after reading for a while, and we were all like out on trips the whole day and riding on camels and climbing mountains and things, you know. So I was,
wow.
There was a reason why I was, but then On the last day, we sang the whole song in a circle and like in the desert before the ocean. And I felt this vibration, like you know, this, yeah, like really like a resonance. And I felt the song like throughout my body. And so when I came home from that, I was going directly for a retreat, a spiritual retreat. And yeah, and there everyone is like a cultural, you know, everyone throws in a bit of song. It's up on stage, but it's so it's quite big, but anyone can do it, you know. So I did that song with someone accompanying me, and it was filmed, and for some reason it got sent out a bit, so lots of people saw it from other places, and then got invitation for like tours in Italy and in the States, and yeah, started to.
Wow.
I didn't understand, what am I doing here? Why me? Like I didn't, you know, it was a bit like.
So yeah. everything kind of happened very quickly then, obviously, after you know, because then you started getting invitations overseas, yes. Or, you know, internationally. Yeah. So that's amazing though. That's, wow. And you weren't expecting any of that to happen, obviously.
No. And it wasn't in a big way. It would just be like maybe 1 year was this invitation, then another year, like not like a daily thing, yeah. You know. So it was,
It was gradual, kind of gradual.
Gradual, yeah. And yeah. I guess it's been like that for many years, just like a thing that I could easily forget about, not part of my daily life. And then, and then later on taking it a bit more, not only seriously, but taking myself seriously in that way. Yeah. So
kind of honoring the fact of what you're doing and honoring kind of the service that you're providing to people.
But it's still a struggle.
absolutely. And I mean, yeah, it's just it's fascinating. I mean, that's an amazing story, and the fact that, you know, you had kind of all those kind of, you know, I suppose spiritual kind of social interactions with, you know, people in a sense that kind of you know, influenced you as you got older. So you began to kind of, you started actually composing your songs a lot later than that. So tell me a little bit about what kind of, what journey you were on and what kind of led you into the, you know, beginning to compose your own music.
I have been wanting to write songs for the entire time, like just sitting down and with and everything that came out were just empty for me, you know. And then so it took many years, and I must have been 30 or more than that. And I was I had some health issues, so I had to just stop everything. And it just happened kind of again and again that I would try to get my life back together, and then again these issues coming up. And then I went to India to get some perspective. And also I felt almost like it was my home there. Yeah. And I went to an ashram a few times, like coming there 1 year and then coming back again next year. And and it was like in an offering, because I was this is how I work. it's so clumsy in a way, because I will just get a wave over me or something heavy on my chest, and I feel full of chaos and like get questions about everything. So there was an energy coming over me of this, I didn't know what, I felt it was about the music, about my life, about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then came so much like a chaos over me, and I felt I had to offer this in a flower, an imagined flower. And what I felt from this moment on was that within me there was a decision coming directly after that. And it was like from having a red light or like a doubt, it became a green light to just not listen anymore to the doubt, and just the rule inside me became say yes, no matter what, say yes to the music, because it would be lots of times people would try to hand me the guitar or place me, you know, can you sing for us, can you, you know, and I would just be, not now, like, just excuses and fear. So became also a shift, because if you are very self-critical, it will never stop, you know. And if you, so I just had to kind of have this conversation in me again and again, that it was not up to me to like or approve of what I was doing. I just had to trust from now on and just give it my trust, give it my energy and focus. And yeah, so this, from then on, started to, yeah, just come songs, and also the opportunity to record and work with Massimo Camponi, who produced this album with me and showed me so much support. And yeah, we were on a similar journey together. So,
wow.
Yeah, this album was also his first project or ever working with music. It was his dream also since, you know, since forever, and it was his first chance to make music. And yeah.
So the name of the album, just for listeners, is called Inner Kingdom.
Yeah.
Inner Kingdom. And yeah, it's amazing, like, because, you know, you were kind of at that point where, you know, it was kind of like your ego didn't want you to expose yourself to the world for fear of judgment or fear of, you know, rejection or whatever. But your spirit was like, no, you've got to do this. You've got to do it. You've just got to do it. It's not about you. It's not about what you think. It's about the service that you can provide to other people. And I think that's a very pivotal moment in somebody's life when they feel like they're called to serve at a greater level. And, you know, because I'm the same. I've had the same things, the same thoughts, the same beliefs. So who the hell am I to, you know, do a speech, or who the hell am I to start a podcast? Who the hell am I to do whatever? But it's not about, it's not about us. It's not about what we think of ourselves. It's about the guidance and the, you know, the encouragement that we can give to other people through having the courage to step into the light and express ourselves and our deepest truth. So I think it's a beautiful thing, because there's a lot of fear. But even though there's fear, you know what's on the other side of that fear. You know there's joy on the other side of that fear. And it's just, it's a wonderful thing to be able to experience that contrast.
Yeah.
You know?
A big contrast, and it makes the hell, everything different.
Absolutely. And it's like, a lot of times, I think there's a lot of people out there that are in the same situation where they feel like they have a greater calling. They have a greater purpose in the world, that they want to inspire, or they want to, you know, help people, or they want to heal, or they want to, you know, do something that mightn't be conventional, you know, to the people around them. And I find that a lot of people hold themselves back again because of that fear of judgment, because of that fear of ridicule, because of that fear of not being accepted. But in reality, when you're called to do something that, you know, has a pure positive intention that comes from deep within yourself, When you act on those energies, and when you actually step forward to kind of serve those energies to the world, only good can come from it. Only good can come from it. And obviously the magic that happened to you when you finally decided to actually, you know, get up and sing on stage, and then all of a sudden you're getting these people all over the world asking you to come and sing.
Yeah, it's a bit yeah, and still, it was many years of confusion because it wasn't clear that, how can I, as you said, like, who am I? It's anyone else could be up there and sing. And then this incident with the flower, this happened right after a long period of failing in what I thought I was supposed to do. I was starting to become a teacher, and I put my whole heart into it, and then I became sick. I couldn't almost move. I couldn't, fatigue and things like that. And then became like, but what can I do? How can I serve? And this very strong longing and like sadness of not being of service and wanting so much to be, of use to just to the few people that, or as many people as I can, or like service in some way, in some form, is doubt, and then a strong wish, and then after a very short time, this incident with the flower came. It was at the yeah, so it's very it's easier to believe in yourself if you just give it, you don't but then comes another doubt, do I think I'm important or something to think that I have a calling, It's another fear there that is that came afterwards again. Oh, so but for a long time I was very productive, and then later on came another life crisis that was quite a tough one, and I kind of lost that trust a bit again. So yeah, it's
Yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you mean in that sense. And I mean, our faith is tested over and over and over again. And I think that's what adds to the stability of that faith then, as you keep stepping into greater and greater levels of service. Because again, if you don't have the contrast of doubting yourself, well, then how can you compare to the contrast of when you're believing in yourself? And when you're actually serving, because when you're in those states of service where you're doing what you're meant to do, there is a certain sense of groundedness in what you're doing as you are doing it, because you know you're supposed to be doing what you're doing. And I think the kind of the dissonance comes from when you are feeling that you know there's more to your life, there's something more that you should be doing, but yet you can't seem to make things work, or things keep, as you say, you keep failing, or things don't work out, and you keep manifesting these different, kind of manifestations of chaos in your life that are forcing you to turn around and look at yourself, and forcing you to kind of find out what's truly important to you. And like, look, I've been an entrepreneur for years, and I failed at thousands of different things I've tried over the years that I've failed at. But each time I do, the stronger I get in myself to realize, you know what, you don't need to be attached to the outcome, because it's not about a specific outcome. It's about the character that you develop along the way as you do what you're supposed to do in the world. And it's funny that you were talking about, you were trying to make it as a teacher, but things kept going wrong. And it's amazing how the universe or whatever can kind of, steer you in new directions that always seem to be greater than what you were aiming for. And that's the, like, they say, like, everything happens for me, and not everything doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. And I've heard that saying many times. And sometimes, depending on what state you're in, what state of mind you're in, sometimes you go, oh, that's a load of shit. Other times you go, yeah, depending on where your vibration is. But when you look at it from that perspective of, like, me and myself as well, I never really, knew that I'd have a podcast or be interviewing people around the world. I always wanted to do it, Years ago, I'd watch people doing it, like even Joe Rogan. I used to watch Joe Rogan years ago when he started, and I was like, wow, imagine doing that. Imagine interviewing people around the world. And it's like, now I get to do that, and there's such a joy that comes from being able to connect with people. I mean, I come across you randomly supposedly on YouTube. You know, listen to your amazing music, your amazing energy that flows through your music and your voice and your intention for what you're doing in the world. And, you know, and then I get to reach out to you on Facebook and say, hey, how's it going? And then a couple of months later, then we're having a conversation, you know, and it's such a beautiful time in history to be alive that we can do that now. We can literally have instant connections with people around the world. And I just think more people need to take advantage of that, you know, and kind of step into, you know, you've got to put yourself out there. You've got to take those emotional risks. Because I could have very easily looked at you and went, oh, she's a big popular singer and she probably wouldn't have anything to do with me because and put you on a big pedestal. But I thought, you know what, you know, listening to the words of your song and listening, you know, I knew that you had pure intent with regards to the way you wanted to serve in the world. And I was like, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to reach out to her. And if she wants to come on, great. If she doesn't, so what? So it's like, you know, I just think nowadays it's so, so important to take those risks and to, you know, be more open to risking your ego if what you want to do has pure intent behind it and you want to serve. And obviously I wanted to reach out to you because I wanted to spread your message. I wanted people to learn about you and learn about your amazing songs and your amazing voice. And because I know that's going to help people in their lives. And because it helped me, as I said, you know, I came across you only November last year, but I wasn't going through the best time. I was, you know, was going through a bit of darkness at the time. And when I heard your voice for the first time, I was like, oh my God, it was another level. So I just think it's so important for us to kind of acknowledge the doubts that we have about ourselves, but also to be able to look at them and say, well, who am I to say those things about me? Who am I to assume that I'm not good enough? Who am I? Because most of the time it's, who am I to do this good thing in the world?
Yeah,
who am I to encourage confidence in people?
So automatic.
Exactly. So it's like, well, maybe who am I to doubt myself? Who am I to say that I can't help people? Who am I to say that I'm not good enough?
Well, yeah.
No, so you can flip it on its head nearly with that. So tell us a little bit now, kind of the situation, obviously, you know, with Corona happening and all that type of stuff, you're gigging, you weren't obviously gigging that much. So what are you kind of looking to do now? Are you looking to record another album? Are you looking to do some touring again? What are your hopes for the next couple of years?
We're working a bit on new music. I have some... I started with a company called Nishi Music here in Oslo, and we're recording now. Yeah.
Wow.
And I have some shows that are, booked, and people starting to, you know, look for the time after Corona. And I was gonna record. Many people do this. They make digital concerts, and I've been just too busy with the little girl. And
tell us a little bit about your daughter, actually. So how old is she?
She's now 5. No. And she's a very bubbly, very active and fun-loving girl. but it's full on, and I'm alone as a parent, and it's kind of challenging sometimes, just it's challenging if I want to do other things. especially now when everything has been closed, it's better just to enjoy play and be with her.
I actually saw some of the videos you posted on Facebook there a few weeks ago, and I was like, oh, she's gorgeous.
Beautiful little thing. Thank you.
So I was asking you before in relation to, you know, kind of things that you would like to kind of talk about, and one of the things that you said was dharma. And for anyone that doesn't know what dharma is essentially your purpose in life, or your kind of your spiritual calling. You know, so what is important to you about people discovering their dharma in life?
So I felt for a long time that was kind of through the music, where I could maybe give an impulse or like a message, the message for me in that from or that I felt through that music was the importance of the people just discovering their true nature and their individual abilities, or you know, the royal nature of each and everyone. But this feels like a very, like in the spiritual sphere, and lately I've been more pressured to be very grounded and just peel away all these. So I don't know. I think it's all part of just I'm just trying to figure out life myself. So yeah, I just want people forever. I want people to be fulfilled or have the opportunity to, you know, be as happy as they can, or be, or that life is worthwhile. You know, that we're here to just not take each other for granted and not just let life pass. But this is for me as well. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't know what to tell anybody.
Yeah, you're talking to yourself as well. Yeah, I know. I do that all the time. I say that to people. I'm like, I'd be saying to someone about something. I'm like, yeah, but I'm talking to me too.
Yes. So I feel I have not. I don't know if I have anything to teach anyone. I'm just, these are my values and what I think about a lot, and what I focus on, and what I kind of wish upon people that and myself as well, you know, but for humanity. And yeah, so for a while I felt this, that it's so important for each and every one of us to discover their, you know, this royal nature. But it is a two-edged sword, you know.
So, sorry, I apologize, but I just want to confirm. So you said royal nature. Royal. So explain what that means, for somebody who might not understand.
Yeah, what do I mean? I mean, for some it's maybe a very natural thing, or for some it's not something they haven't been much in contact with, but it's maybe more easy to describe it as being aligned, doing what you feel like you're meant to do, and being supported in finding your you know. But it can be taken the wrong way as well.
I know exactly what you mean by that. Now, I've never heard that term before, but the second you said it, I was like, oh my God. Now, the way I would kind of describe it is it is your authentic power of who you are in yourself, with full conviction in who you are as yourself, and full confidence in your purpose or mission to serve as yourself. So that's the way I would define that. But that is a beautiful, beautiful.
That's very good. Well said. I'm not so,
But that's a beautiful, it's a beautiful concept. And, you know, again, it comes back to that inner warrior. And that song of yours, one of my favorite songs, Inner Warrior, absolutely incredible, incredible song. And that's what it is. It's that inner royalty, that, you know, inner warrior force. But there's also an element of dignity to it. There's also an element of resolve. There's also an element of groundedness and stability and you know, certainty with regards to what you are standing for in this world. And you know, I just love that word royal. It really, really sums it up. And you know, some people might associate royalty with superiority and with whatever,
but yeah,
it's, you know, we're not talking about it in that term. We are talking about it from an energetic standpoint, and from kind of, I suppose, claiming your divine authority over yourself.
Yeah. And that was or that is something that I feel is very healing for us, to spend time in when this comes upon us, this feeling of, as you say, this dignity and this resolve, and like when we can feel that for a bit and maybe as often as we can. But for a while that was or that was what I was kind of studying with in me and around me and wanting for people. But also then came the contrast where it's like, yes, do that, but also acknowledge where you're hitting the ground. And like, I had to investigate that for a bit, you know, and really feel how it is to grow the roots deep, you know, and feel limited by the world and be knocked down a bit. But I'm not sure if I could say this is good for everybody, but I think I needed to. I was already never like at the top of the world or anything, but I think I have been struggling to ground and to be to accept this world, to accept and to love the world as it is, you know.
Yeah.
Feeling resistance to my culture and to many things that are, yeah.
I know exactly what you mean. And I've been through a similar kind of situation myself the last few months as well. And I think a lot of times people can use spirituality as an escape.
Yeah.
And then they deny the reality that they're in, or the physical reality. And then there's like a resistance, as you said, that comes up. And I used to do that hugely, I used to do that. I would just deny myself, you know, I deny reality to myself in a sense. And, you know, but it's not even reality you're denying. You're just denying your own perception of the way that you think things should be, or the way you think things aren't good enough for you. But true spirituality is accepting everything and seeing the beauty in what's happening in your life right now, and understanding that you are where you need to be, and everything is happening for your highest good. As difficult as that might be to see most of the time, we get glimpses of that consciousness, you know, from time to time. But when we do get those glimpses, it's invaluable. So I know exactly what you mean by that. Like, it's like it's like you've kind of gone through the spiritual stuff where you're like, okay, you've done all this clearing, you've done all this healing, you've done all this kind of stuff that's not really connected to the earth, not really connected to the physical world. And now it's like, you need to come back down into the physical world. You need to take that experience and that knowledge and that light and bring it through into the physical. And in your day-to-day, let's say mediocre or normal or average experiences, because at the end of the day, they're only mediocre or normal or average based on perception. So see the most beautiful, like, you know, beautiful things, and a little baby laughing, or a flower, or a bird flying by, or just these amazing things, like, you know, little things in life that most of the time we take for granted. It's like when you can see the beauty in the most simplest forms, and when you can see the intricate detail in, you know, of creation through those simple things that the ego usually takes for granted. It's just amazing how powerful perception is. You know, people who listen to me know I go on about perception all the time. But that's what it is. It really is that, you know. It's like your lens into the world. And you know, but yeah, it's fascinating. I just love having these conversations. I really do. But the fact that you were talking about limitations, though, and embracing limitation as a tool for spiritual growth, I mean, I've never heard anyone say that before.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true, but that's how it feels like to me. That and also having a child, you know, and being so I can't lean on anybody or just take, okay, now you take, it's me only, you know. And then having the experience of someone that can trigger you and push you when you're already down, and push you and need you, and I would do anything for her. So I feel like I'm going through fire, I'm jumping through hoops, I'm doing like, I just have to grow. And
people understand that, you know, especially when you're dealing with kids sometimes and you're tired and you just want to go to sleep, yeah. And they're in your ear going, yeah. Rah, rah, rah. So yeah, that's understandable.
Like, nothing to do with her, like, she's my angel. I would just go through everything for her, and then I feel along with that came a whole world of being mother and feeling as if the whole world was looking at me all of a sudden. And my aura went completely open with no protection. That's how it felt like. So, yeah, it was quite hard, rough on my body, on my nervous system, and just finding ways to hide myself and to just, you know, create a safe bubble. And yeah,
I have to say it's been an absolute pleasure having you on today, Gita. It's been amazing. I'm gonna actually post some links to your YouTube channel and to your albums and stuff like that, or to your album on Spotify, in the description. But where can people find out more about you?
I have a page on Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, I've started to use Instagram. And on YouTube, of course. And search Gita Rani. You maybe post how to spell it, because that's also a bit different.
Of course.
And Spotify,
So, and I have a question for you. Are you ever going to, would you ever consider coming to Ireland to play a gig?
yeah, of course. And we come to Ireland anyway.
You were only here last week, weren't you?
Yeah. We just got home. So, yeah, and of course, I'd love to come and play.
Excellent. I'm going to hold you to that. We have it here now. We've got it recorded. It's official.
Yay!
But, look, I just want to say, Gita, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I just can't wait to, I can't wait for people to listen to your music for the first time and see how amazing you are, because you have the most incredible voice. You have the most amazing lyrics, and your music is so relaxing and so energetically healing. And it's been an absolute pleasure having you on today. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Nigel. And you're a very good host. And it was nice to talk to you. Wish you a good day, and everybody who's listening in. Okay.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure you check out Gita's music, and we'll talk to you soon.